This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. We have two stories for you today. The first, whether a terrorist bombing in Boston, a school shooting in Connecticut, or a plane crash in Illinois, Lutherans respond with aid and comfort. One registered service organization is Lutheran Church Charities. One mission tool it uses has four legs, a cold nose, and a wagging tail. I speak with LCC President Tim Hetzner about the organization's Canine Comfort Dog program. Our second story is about Lutheranism in the tiny Baltic nation of Latvia. Lutheranism survived occupation by Tsarist Russia, Nazi Germany, and the Soviet Union. Now, it's struggling to survive freedom since the fall of communism. Pastor Craig D'Onofrio speaks with Reverend Andres Krulinch about the situation in his home country.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. ESPN reporter Seth Wickersham has a piece coming out on a unique full-time position on the New England Patriots, the team chaplain. According to ESPN.com, Jack Easterby is treated a little differently than most team chaplains. The typical team chaplain is a pastor at a local church who volunteers to host Saturday chapel for the 10 or so players who attend, and he's compensated with cash in a collection plate. But in New England, Easterby has an office, and it's near Coach Bill Belichick's. He's a classic Belichick hire. The more he can do, the more he does. He hosts Bible study, works coaches' hours in his office counseling players and their wives, he throws passes in practice, and sometimes even jumps in on scout team drills. Owner Robert Kraft calls Easterby a wonderful individual, and Tom Brady's told friends that Easterby is one of the main reasons for the Patriots' success this past year. Safety Devin McCourty calls him a godsend to this team who has helped create better men. On January the 14th, representatives of the International Lutheran Council met with representatives of the Lutheran World Federation in Geneva for regular meetings. As is customary with these meetings, the ILC and LWF took time to highlight important work taking place in each of their organizations. How each intends to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation was a key topic of discussion, given that the anniversary will take place in 2017. The meeting also addressed areas that continued to be challenges between the two groups, in particular, different understandings of the theology of mission and disagreement over the concept of unity of the church were frankly addressed, with plans to follow up on these topics in the future. The courage and sacrifice of today's Christian martyr should not go unnoticed and unappreciated. One such heroic figure, the 94-year-old Roman Catholic Bishop Cosmo Zizhenzhen. He died recently in Chinese custody, according to an official government statement. It was reported February the 2nd by an independent Catholic news service focusing on Asia. His generation felt the brunt of Chinese communist cruelty, but his death as a religious prisoner reminds us that religious repression in China is far from over. Altogether, since 1954, the bishop was held captive for more than 40 years by the communist government for his religion, making him one of the longest-serving political prisoners of our age. He was incarcerated for refusing to submit to government religious oversight, oversight that precludes preaching against abortion and female infanticide. His final detention at a secret location lasted 14 years, and nothing is known about it. An administrative law judge in Oregon has ruled against Melissa Klein's efforts to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a lesbian couple after Klein declined to make their wedding cake because of her biblical belief that marriage is a sacred union of one man and one woman. A hearing in March will now determine what fines will be levied against Klein for damages suffered by the lesbians.
World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
bear. That's what we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us, live streaming archive.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
Lutherans are quick to respond whenever tragedy strikes. We provide material assistance where needed, but just as important as the physical needs are the spiritual ones. Lutheran Church Charities is one of the organizations that responds, according to Tim Hetzner, LCC president.
Lutheran Church Charities is an RSO, recognized service organization of the LCMS. We're located in the Northern Illinois District, suburb of Addison, Illinois, suburb of Chicago. But we serve the entire U.S. and work through our LCMS congregations to bring mercy and compassion and presence and proclamation of Jesus Christ.
The gospel message of comfort is given in a number of ways, including using God's first article gifts of creation. One of these gifts is the dog. Lutheran Church Charities makes extensive use of comfort dogs to help people in crisis.
We have the Comfort Dog Ministry, and now also we launched in August a Care 9 military dog ministry where we're placing virtually comfort dogs with veterans for the sole purpose of those veterans and serving other veterans.
When the program first started, there was some question about using the dogs for ministry.
Well, you know, when we started this, we got criticized from some circles in our Senate on how can a dog do ministry.
Hetzner explains that dogs, as part of God's first article gifts of creation, can be seen as effective tools for spreading the gospel message of love and forgiveness.
They certainly is a tool that God provides to touch people. And if we use it to proclaim healing and hope and all that of Jesus Christ and salvation in Him, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's what we're to be doing.
Hetzner says the idea for the comfort dogs came to him while he was doing disaster relief work in 2005 in New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina. He says he saw firsthand the bond of people and their pets, as some hurricane victims refused to leave their homes without their dogs. LCC started the Comfort Dog program 3 years later with its first golden retriever. All of LCC's comfort dogs are goldens. At first, there were only a few dogs, and all based out of the LCC's headquarters near Chicago. Then, in 2008, Hetzner says, God hit him in the head with a message to expand the program nationwide.
And then in 2008, in February, at Northern Illinois University up here in DeKalb, there was a shooting. I think it was 17 students were killed. And we were called to bring in the dogs. So we flew in and brought in the dogs that we knew and had them out. And it was just one of the most healing things for these kids. And then we were invited back, and that's when God hit me in the head and says, you know, don't wait for crisis and disasters.
Since then, there are more than 70 comfort dogs located in 10 states. The dogs are owned either by LCC or by sponsoring congregations and housed locally.
All of our dogs are either owned by Lutheran Church Charities or by the congregation in which they're placed in. And we train then caregivers, two sets of caregivers for the dog. We train a top dog, and then we train handlers to work with the dogs.
The dogs themselves are adopted as puppies and undergo rigorous training.
We train our own dogs, and we start at 8 weeks and go to a year in training their dogs. So they're trained at the level of a service dog, but we don't use them as service dogs because our handlers are not disabled.
The handlers are not only trained to handle the dogs, but also to help spread the message of Christ to people in need.
The handlers, I mean, the dogs are really the bridge for ministry. So the handlers then are trained to listen, train how to pray with people, and just to bring that mercy and compassion of Christ and proclamation of Christ to the people that we're serving.
Hetzner says a victim talking about the incident is a vital part of the healing process. Often, the victims will talk to a dog before speaking to another person.
And in any crisis or disaster, one of the key parts of healing is to be able to talk about it. And the dog becomes safe to talk to. Most people will talk to the dog before they talk to the person.
Hetzner says that dogs are the best listeners for people in distress.
Dogs, of course, are good listeners. They show unconditional love. They don't take notes. They're confidential. And you can hug them. You can lay down on them. You can do just about anything with them. And it helps, whether it's children or adults, it helps them in the midst of what they're going through to feel some sense of love and warmth.
LCC Comfort Dogs were called to the scene of the tragic Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, where a madman killed 20 children and 6 adults. The survivors and dogs gathered in a high school auditorium the following day. Hetzner describes the scene.
You know, when we were in Newtown, our dogs, they would lay down. We were in the high school there the day after the shootings. Our dogs would just lay down in various places with the handler. Kids would come down, and you'd have 7 or 8 kids sitting around the dog, all petting the dog. And as they're petting the dog, they're talking.
One child in particular stands out in Hetzner's memory.
Dogs bring out. We saw that in Sandy Hook. We had one child that didn't speak at all for 4 days and came out and slowly went up to one of the dogs and started petting it. And then hugged it, and next thing we knew, he was lifting up the ear of the dog and telling the dog what had happened. He happened to be in one of the classrooms where the shootings took place.
Sometimes the dogs won't wait to be approached. They'll take the lead and go to the person who needs them the most.
We see this all the time where they will actually, they can spot somebody across a room that's hurting. And they'll give the handler a little nudge. And, of course, you know, they're leashed with us, but we can walk over to that person. And the dog will sense it, even when there's no humans around there that know that that person is hurting. The dog will. They sense it.
One new area of mission for LCC is working with veterans. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has a long history serving the military.
Now, the beauty here is being LCMS. I mean, LCMS has such a network when it comes to military outreach. I mean, we started the military chaplains.
Hetzner says LCC and Comfort Dogs have been increasingly invited by veteran groups in recent years.
Well, what we saw happening was we were getting invited out with more and more veterans events, VA hospitals, VFW halls, and then individual families of veterans or active military.
Veterans are often reluctant to speak of their experiences. The best way to reach them is with another veteran.
The best way to serve a veteran and help a veteran that's suffering from whatever is another veteran. They simply will not open up, in most cases, to anyone else.
Handlers, who are also military veterans, bring comfort dogs to other veterans in need of an understanding ear and a message of unconditional love. A person's relationship with a comfort dog lasts longer than just one meeting. Each dog has its own business card and Facebook page.
All their dogs have their own business card. With their picture on it, they all have their own Facebook page, Twitter, and email account. Now, we don't do that to be cute. Anyone who pets one of our dogs gets one of their business cards. And they're told, hey, like them on Facebook or, you know. And so what happens is it extends the contact that we have with the person when they pet the dog.
Mission is reaching out to people with the gospel message of forgiveness and comfort. Hetzner says comfort dogs are the best outreach program he's ever experienced.
I was in parish ministry for 25 years. This is one of the most effective ways of outreach I have ever worked with.
God has given us many wonderful things in His first article gifts, and it's our responsibility to use the tools He provides to spread the message of Jesus Christ. To learn more about Comfort Dogs and Lutheran Church Charities, visit their website at lutheranchurchcharities.org. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign as Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
I'm Craig D'Onofrio, World Lutheran News Digest. The nation of Latvia on the Baltic coast has a long tradition of Lutheranism. Latvia was part of the Russian Empire until it gained its independence in 1920 during the Russian Civil War. The Soviet Union invaded and annexed Latvia in 1940. Then came Nazi Germany during World War II. It returned to Soviet ownership after the war and remained part of the Soviet Union until the collapse of the USSR in 1991. Lutheranism survived, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Latvia is in full fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I spoke recently with Pastor Andrus Krilinch, who was visiting the United States.
An invitation from LCMS, I wanted to visit Fort Wayne for the symposia to upgrade my theological skills a little bit. And then it was the wonderful possibility to visit Life Ministries Conference and the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And so now we are here in St. Louis for some other talks and meetings.
Lutheranism was the main faith in Latvia before World War II.
Yes, the Lutheran Church was 100% the main church before the Second World War.
The faith remains strong even under Soviet rule and is still the biggest religion in the country today.
And then there came the communism. And nowadays, we are still the biggest denomination.
Other Christian faiths are also flourishing in Latvia.
But the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church are also quite big. And Baptists, so those would be the four biggest we have.
Pastor Krilinch's family was Lutheran, and he was baptized into the faith as a child.
Oh, yes. I was baptized at the age of 3 years.
He was born when the Soviets ruled Latvia. The communists actively tried to suppress religious practice. He was baptized in his home, which created a dilemma for some in his family who were communist sympathizers.
All the relatives and friends of my family who belonged to the Communist Party went outside of the home, walking in a garden.
As a young child, he attended church with his mother.
And then I was joining the church together with my mother. I didn't understand quite much of the stuff going on and playing somewhere in the ground at the feet of my mother somewhere there.
But when Krilinch started school, the communists stepped in and told his mother that her son could not attend church.
If I started to enter the school rector invited my mother and said to her, you may go to the church, ma'am, but you are not allowed to take your boy with you.
Although he was kept from church, he remembered his religious teaching. He started attending church once again after he graduated.
And so we stopped go to the church, and I returned to the church at the age of 20s, yeah.
The communist regime continued threatening. A particular threat was directed against his mother.
And my mother escaped from being sent to Siberia. And she had all the time, all the Soviet time, big anxious reactions about this, that they come and take her for what she escaped.
The problem wasn't what his mother had done, but rather his grandfather's history.
My granddad, also her father, was in the Latvian military before the World War, and they were rich. Rich farmers, then what doesn't mean rich? Normal farmers.
The offense was that the family had served in the Latvian military before the Soviet annexation and had been landowners as well. That was enough for the communist officials to consider the entire family as enemies of the state.
They were put on the list just because the granddad was kind of military. Stuff, and the second, yeah, just they were good with their finances and when there was their farm there.
The Lutheran Church flourished during the first two decades of communist rule.
Well, you know, it's very interesting when we look back to the Soviet times. The church was full until 60s.
Krilinch says that membership started to fade as the people saw no end to communist rule and Russian domination.
And then the people were giving up their hope, I think. And they thought, oh, even God cannot help us to get out of this Soviet empire.
For a time, the congregation barely held on with only a few worshippers.
So when I went as a child in the late 70s to the church, old ladies, awful singing, old ladies choir, I remember, and coffee after the worship in the sacristy with those kind, otherwise very kind, old ladies.
In addition to the loss of hope, the communists put severe restrictions on the church, making it difficult to continue.
No Bible work, no confirmation class was able, no printing new hymnals, no Bibles, all was prohibited. So the church, there were no hymnals.
Other restrictions included prohibiting congregations from paying their pastors. This meant that pastors had to work regular jobs during the week and then tend to the congregations on the weekend. Another obstacle the communists put in the way was closing any congregations without a pastor.
When you didn't have a pastor, the Soviet government says, oh, we're closing your, shutting down your congregation.
There was a pastor shortage because they were all forced to work outside jobs. This meant that pastors would have to tend to multiple congregations. Krilinch says he knows of one pastor who had 16 congregations. the collapse of communism caught the church by surprise. While it sparked a religious revival in Latvia, it also created problems.
The people came. The churches were overcrowded, but the pastors were very old, non-educated, non-well-educated. They couldn't spread their good message, and the church as an organization was totally not ready for such a turn.
The church survives and even thrives. As of 2013, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Latvia reports that there were 136 pastors and 86 evangelists serving 300 congregations. The estimate baptized membership was 250,000. We in the United States have a long tradition of religious liberty. Even so, Pastor Krilinch has words of warning for us.
And when you have freedom for a long, long time, have freedom for every year, you don't remember how precious it is, how much attention you have to pay that you have this.
This advice is especially pertinent today as we see our Christian beliefs under increasingly harsh attack by secularists in our own country. Craig D'Onofrio, World Lutheran News Digest.
World Lutheran News Digest can be heard every Saturday morning at 9:30 Central Time on KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us next week for another edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.